Now, real quick, I meant to do this in the first service. If you don't know, our pastors are not here this morning. Pastor Gene's sister's husband went home to be with the Lord this week. He was 48 and died of a massive heart attack. So the family is really struggling and going through, and they have gone down to Muskogee to be with their family and worship them this morning. And I was telling Pastor Susan this, that, you know, they're always our strength. Everything that we go through, we lean on them and we depend on them. But who's supposed to be their strength when they're going through? That is supposed to be us, the body of Christ. How many of y'all believe that we're supposed to be the strength and lift up our leaders and our pastors? So if you have never prayed more passionately before in your life, I want you to join me in prayer. Just grab hands all over this auditorium real quick as we begin to pray for our pastors and our leaders. These are the people who war for us, who help us grow in the spirit. They're going through something right now, and it is our job to lift them up. So, Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, as we come together as a body, as a unit, we call out our pastor's name, Pastor Gene, Pastor Melody, God, and their entire family, God, and we know that they are broken. We know that they are struggling and they are going through a hard time, God, and they're always everybody else's strength, God, but we declare as a church, just as Moses, what happened to Moses when he was tired, God, we're going to hold their hands up. We're going to hold their faith up. We're going to hold their physical bodies up, God, as this is a toll that can take on your body, God. And I declare, God, that they will begin to release. They will begin to release whatever it is that's inside of them, God, that needs to be fixed and changed and mended. God, I pray, God, for each and every one of those family members who have lost somebody, a uncle, a brother, a cousin, a friend, God. I pray, Lord, that over these next couple of days, God, that they will feel your love like never before, and then they can rejoice because they know that one day we are going to be caught up in heaven and we are going to get to see him again, and we are going to celebrate and say thank you, Lord. We're going to give you praise, glory, and honor. We lift up our leaders to you right now in the name of Jesus, and I declare and I send strength. I send angels of strength to them right now where they are, God. And I declare that they will be lifted and made whole in Jesus' name. If you believe in that prayer, come on, let's give God some praise in this place. Come on, these are our pastors, our leaders. Come on, let's give God some praise in this place. Hallelujah. You may go back to your seats as we move forward today. The kids may be released. And as we always do here, every Sunday morning, we believe in praying over our children. So would you mind just stretching your hands towards either one of the walls and praying for our kids? Father God, in the name of Jesus, I declare, Lord, that today, God, that your children will be touched, that they will feel your anointing. They will feel your glory. They will feel who you are, God, whether it be through instruction, whether it be through games, whether it be through DVD sermons, God, whatever it is, I declare in the name of Jesus, God, that they will be trained up to be the men and women of God that you have called them to be. We ask this in your name. Everybody said amen. Amen.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Amen. Amen. How many of y'all excited to be in the house of God this morning? 14 people. Let's try that again. How many of y'all excited to be in the house of God this morning? Yeah. There we go. Now, if this is your first time here today and you don't know who I am, I am Pastor TJ Williams. I am the young adult pastor, the young adult ministry pastor, Gap 412. Do I have any Gap 412 members in the place? I hear y'all. Let's get it. And I'm a little wild. I'm a little radical. I'm crazy. I know that you may have heard, you know, about this great pastor that runs this church that is awesome and a great teaching. I'm sorry to say, but you're stuck with me today. So if you don't mind, we're just going to jump right into it today. I'm just so excited. The enemy fought me all week trying to get this word out. I had a laptop before I got that one and had all my notes and my message ready and prepared to give everybody. And I went to turn my computer on and wouldn't turn on and found out that it was completely dead. It was gone. They said it was burnt out. And so I'm running around in a frenzy the last couple of days, nervous, saying, oh, Lord, I guess I'm just going to get up there and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, amen, and then walk away. And then that would be the sermon. That'll be we got out early today. But how many know that once God puts a message down in your heart, it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to throw at you, what he tries to tell you, it's still going to come out. So I want to talk to you today about the topic transformed by grace. Everybody say transformed by grace. Pastor Gene started a new series last week called Grace. And this topic is so important to us as believers, as Christians, to know what the full effect and what grace really is. I think he did an amazing job last week. I told him that, you know, I've heard several different messages on grace. I've heard several different pastors and teachers and preachers preach on that. And I've gotten things from it, but I don't know if I've ever heard it as simple and as plain as he gave it last week. Not that it was boring, but just that it was so easy to get and to grasp. And one of the most important points that he talked about last week, he said that we have got to know that we are never good enough or can ever do anything good enough to earn or even deserve God's grace. There's absolutely nothing you can do. So before we go any further today, no, it doesn't matter how good you are, how bad you are. There's nothing that you can do to earn God's grace. It is a free gift. And so what he showed last week, I love the diagrams that he showed. He said that, you know, in our bank accounts, we look at it and it's just full of sin. Full of sin. Got a few right things here and there and full of sin. And so we look at that and we can get down on ourselves. We say, man, I'm never going to catch up. I'm never going to be good enough. And you won't. You're right. But then he put Jesus's diagram up there and it was filled with a big R. And what that big R was righteousness and holiness. And so what happens, the real message of grace, what he was saying is what happened is when Jesus went to the cross, when he went and died on the cross, when he took his last breath, what happened was he switched bank accounts with us. And so now his account was full of sin and wrong things and more wrong things that I've done, that you've done. And when he died, he switched it. So now we've got the big R in our account. We are now righteous. We are now holy. We are now made pure because so now we can be before God. Can somebody say amen? I can stop right there because that's the real message of grace. That's what really happened there. But he went on a little further to say, you know, once we finally can understand grace and once we can finally understand and know what grace really is and what it does in our lives, guess what should happen? Once we finally understand it, we should live differently. We should live totally differently than what we were living before we received grace. You know, some people teach grace and say, grace, it covers all. It covers all. You can do whatever you want and grace covers all. Don't get me wrong. It does. It does cover all. But at the same time, you should want to live different. You should know that what Jesus did on the cross and how he died for us, you should be able to look back and see, oh my goodness, I can't believe that this man went down and died for me. Because he did that, I want to live differently. I want to be changed. I want to be a new creation. And I would also go on to say that it should cause us to change or transform. Everybody say transform. I've got the definition of transform here today. The definition is a dramatic change in form or appearance. A dramatic change in form or appearance, not a slight change, not a little bit here, not 30%, not 50%, but a complete 180. The scripture that I want to base all this off of today is Romans 12:2. Y'all know it all too well. Pastor Gene talked about it for about 17 weeks in the Breaking Bad series. And let's go ahead and jump into it. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God, everybody say, let God transform you into a new person. Everybody say new person, by changing the way you think. Listen to this, to the Message version of this. I just love it. It blows my mind every time. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll then be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best. Everybody say the best. God brings the best out of you. So what is Paul saying there? What is the scripture saying there? Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in. Let me give you a little nugget today. We were never called to fit in. We were never called to be like the world. We were never called to walk like the world. We were never called to talk like the world. We were called to have something in us that is different. We should be able to, you know, for instance, we should be at our workplaces and we should be able to walk in without saying one word. And nobody even, they may not even know who you are, and they see you walk in and say, there's something different about that person. I can't put my finger on it, but there's just something about that person. And then you go to the break room and you come in and they have to completely change how they talk. You know, they're sitting in there and they're like saying all this and gossiping and prefers language, all this crazy stuff. And you walk in, they're like, about that God. He's awesome. And you're like, you know, you was not talking about God. Don't sit here and lie to me. You weren't talking about God. But we are never called to fit in. What were we called to do? We're called to stand out. Everybody say stand out. We're called to be different from the world. We're supposed to be the light in the darkness. I gave this example in the first service. If I took something white and I put it on that black wall, you would see it instantly. But if I put something that was gray on the wall, it would blend in. And that's some of us. That's what we're doing today. Some of us as Christians, we're blending right on in with the crowd. We're doing everything that they're doing. We're saying everything that they're saying. And we're like, well, you know, I've got Jesus over here, but no. Yes, you do have Jesus, but you are called to be different. You're called to be different. And then it goes on to say, then you'll be changed from the inside out. From the inside, then out. But the problem is, we worry about our outside so much more than we worry about our inside. I said this in the first service, and Lord have mercy, I got fire laser darts coming from these women. Ladies, I love y'all. I'm telling y'all now, I'm a little crazy and radical, so this might be crazy. But women, I love y'all. Y'all are beautiful. Y'all are awesome. Y'all just walk with this grace and everything's great. But what happens is, I see it so often, you may come into church this Sunday with long, dark, brown, luscious, beautiful hair. And of course, I love that because look at my wife over there, long, dark, brown, beautiful hair. And so you may come with that one Sunday. Next Sunday, you come into church with short platinum blonde with gold frosted tips at the top of your hair. So I'm like, oh, girl, I just needed a change. I just needed a change. I needed something different. Amen. Y'all ain't out of the woods. Hold on one second. I'm coming to you. So we driving down the street, man. We driving, you know, in our little Chevy Malibu, and we like, yeah, this is what it is. And then another brother pulls up in a Mercedes S-Class 500. You like, huh? Turn and look at that thing. You like, man, If I just had that, if I could get in there, people would look at me different. People would respect me differently. The problem is God cares nothing about what's going on our outside. Zero. Let me give you an instance today. He cares zero about what is going on your outside. The only thing that he cares about is what's going on in here. He only cares about what's going on in your heart. So why are we trying to worry so much about what's going on the outside? But once we fix the inside, then we will be better on the outside. Think about it. When people go through something and then, you know, they come out of it, what do people say? Oh, you've got a glow to you. You are smiling. You're happy. Because what happened? The inside was changed first. Now it has to come out. So there's three things I want to talk to you about. Want to pull out of this scripture today, Romans 12:2. And the first one is don't copy this world. Don't copy this world. What do you mean? What do you mean don't copy this world? Well, I know some of us, you know, before Christ, you know, we may have had friends and, you know, growing up with all these different people and doing this or that and doing whatever. And then you decide to step out in Christ and receive Christ in your life. And they did not. So what is happening is then you want to keep that friendship. And I understand that. There's nothing wrong with that. I understand that. But at the same time, we can't do what they do. We can't go where they go because we are supposed to stand out and be different. We can't copy what the world is doing. I gave this example earlier in first service. We I like to talk about current events. And one of the biggest things that's going on in the world today is Ebola. And so, look, I already saw some of y'all. Ooh, Ebola. But the funny thing is, that's my prime example. The world, they are hearing about this. It's all over ABC News. It's all over our Facebook and Twitter feeds. All over. Oh, another case of Ebola. And so what the world is doing is they're running and they're hiding. Oh my goodness, Ebola. What do I do? What happens if it comes to my house? What happens if it comes here to this world? And so they're freaking out. And the sad part is some of us as Christians are doing the same thing. We're like, oh no, Ebola. I gotta wash my hands all the time. I gotta stay away from people. I can't shake their hand anymore. I just gotta give them the Howie Mandel fist bump and I just gotta run and hide and be away. But that's not what we're supposed to be doing. That's copying the world. You want to know what we're supposed to be doing? Father God, in the name of Jesus, I declare, I know, God, that this thing is strong, that it is going out throughout all the world. But Father, I know that you are bigger, you are stronger, you are greater, you are mightier, and you will protect me, you will protect my household, you will protect my family. That is different. That is standing out. And being different from the world and not fitting in. Guarantee you the world is not running around praying. But we're supposed to be doing that. Don't copy this world. Everybody say, don't copy this world. Number two, let God transform you. Let God transform you. Everybody say, let God transform me. One more time, say, let God transform me. Okay, why did you make us say that twice? I wanted you to hear that because so often what is going on is that we try to fix ourselves. I gave this example earlier in the first service and no offense to anybody that does it here, so please just hear my heart, but everybody will know what I'm talking about here. So you ever known anybody that smokes cigarettes and they're like, oh, if I wanted to, you know, I could quit. Whenever I want to, I can be done. I can just walk away and stop doing that. Or how about those people that you've been inviting to come to church for the longest? They're like, when I get my life right, when I get things straight over here, boy, I'm gonna be right in that seat right next to you. I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be good. But let me let you in on a little secret. You can't fix yourself. I'm gonna say that one more time. You cannot fix yourself. We do not have the capability. We do not have the ability to fix ourselves. Let me show you an example. If this microphone were to break right now, I would have no clue how to fix it. You want to know why? Because I'm not its creator. And it's the same thing with us. We try to fix ourselves like we made ourselves. We didn't even make ourselves. God made us. So when we are fixed, when we are broken, when we've got bad things going on in our life and we just need to break the cycles of addiction and all these different things, we don't run to Johnny. We run to God. And we say, God, I know I've been asking everybody else. I know I've been asking somebody else to help me and to do this, but I know that they can't do it. I can't do it. So God, transform me from the inside out. Everybody say, let God transform me. We've got to allow God to do it because we can't do it. And number three, change the way you think. Change the way you think. Let me tell you, if there's nothing else that you don't get from today, I want you to know that the number one battlefield of the enemy is your mind. The number one, he doesn't go to your household first. He doesn't go to your finances first. He doesn't go to your family first. He goes to your mind. Because he knows if he can get your mind, he's got the rest of you. And I'm going to go ahead and say that, you know, probably 75% of us lose that particular battle to him every single day. Every day. Some of us lose it before we even walk out of the door in the morning. Go and look at the mirror. Ugh. 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 I'm just grossed out. I just can't. Oh, I'm not who I used to be. This is so sad. And so right when you walk out the door, the devil's like, yes, I got him. Because now you're already walking out with a bad attitude. But what we're supposed to be doing, we need to be walking around saying, Father God, I know that I may not be the best. I know that I may not be, you know, feeling how I want to feel, but I know that I am a son or I'm a daughter of a king. And then when you go through something that seems impossible, you just say, well, you know I can't figure out how to get through this, but with Christ, all things are possible. Yeah. And then when you're going through things of not being loved or not feeling loved, then you're like, you know, all you got to say is, for God so loved the world that he, and since I'm in the world, he loves me. So for God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever shall believe shall have eternal life. And I believe in you, God. So that means it doesn't matter what I go through. I live. Somebody ought to say amen right there. I live. It doesn't matter what we go through. But so many times we allow our negative thoughts to hold us captive. Example of this. How many of y'all ever seen the Transformers movie? Anybody ever seen the Transformers movie? I'm not talking about the newer ones. I'm talking about the one with Shia LaBeouf, the very first one that he did when they brought it back. And my favorite character of the movie is Bumblebee. How many of y'all like Bumblebee? Bumblebee, man. Bring up. Yeah, man. That's Bumblebee. Bumblebee is off the chain, man. Bumblebee got swag. Bumblebee got character. I love Bumblebee. But here's the thing, though. Shia LaBeouf went to go, and his dad said, you got to get whatever you can afford. And so he gets Bumblebee. They drive off, and life is good, right? And so Bumblebee is, you know, he's gotten in the mindset that he is just this old beat up car. He's just, you know, this old car, got scratches, got rust, got dings, got battered and bruised, all these different things, got problems on the inside of it, got problems on the outside. And so he's just decided he's just going to be this old little lonely car until one day something happened on the inside of Bumblebee. So Bumblebee had to make a choice to change. There, Shia LaBeouf got into trouble. So he said, you know what? I can either stay in this place and just say, you know what? I'm just this old, crusted up, beat up, you know, old car. Or I know better than this. I know that, you know, there's something down on the inside of me that is much greater than that. And if I just tap into it, then I will transform and I will become a mighty warrior. So what happened? He transformed and then he began to slay every single one of those giants. They fell. Why are you telling me this, TJ? How am I relating to a car? Because that's how some of us are before grace. We look at ourselves, we look at our situations, we look at ourselves in the mirror, and we're like, I'm just this old beat up person. I've been used. I've been abused. I've had a lot of different things going on in my life. And, you know, I'm only good in this aspect. So I'm just going to, you know, stay here. This is totally fine. This is all I'm going to do. And I've got a little problems on the inside and outside, but I'm just going to stay here. That's our attitude before we see grace. But then after we receive the fullness of grace, we're like, wait a minute. I am not just this old washed up person. I don't care how old I am. I know that I've gone through different things in my life, nicks and bruises, but all it did was make me better. And so now I know when I tap into the real true grace and love of God, I can transform into a new person and become a mighty warrior for Jesus. And so what happens after that grace? We transform. But the most important part of that is your change, your transformation starts on the inside first. On the inside, not the outside. Like I said earlier, we try to worry about fixing the outside first before allowing God to fix the inside. So you're telling me all this, Pastor TJ, how? Okay, that's great. I understand. You know, I know there's more to my life. I know I just haven't been able to tap into it. So how do I do this? How do I become transformed? How do I become transformed? Number one, you've got to be willing. You've got to be willing. I say this, I stole this from somebody I heard speaking. They said, God is a gentleman and he's never going to force himself on you. He's never going to force himself on you at salvation. He's never going to force himself on you in getting grace. He's never going to force himself on you through any decision that you make throughout your everyday life. He's never going to impose his will. That's not the type of God he is. He gave us free will and free choice. So we have to choose to be worked on by him. We have to choose to be transformed. Number two, you have to be consistent with God. I'm going to talk more about that as I wrap up, but you have to be consistent with God. And number three, you have to put yourself in a place before God. This is so important. I think of a couple of stories in the Bible that these gentlemen follow these principles. Remember Paul? Remember when he used to be Saul? He persecuted Christians. He killed Christians. That's what he did every single day of his life. And that's what he did, is run out and just kill and slay people. And it was just, he was fine with that until one day he didn't even know it, but he had was going down that road to Damascus and he had put himself in a place before God. And what happened? God showed up and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing this to me? And if you read on, in the story, it says that, you know, Paul began to have an encounter with God like never before. And because of that, he totally changed and transformed. And he was not killing Christians anymore, but he was bringing people to Jesus. And but the most important part of that story is, though, that Jesus told him, he said, now that you have made this transformation, I am no longer calling you Saul. Your new name is now Paul. And I'm said, why would he say that? Why would he say, you know, he did that quite a bit. If you read, you know, back in the Bible, he used to change people's names quite a bit. I said, why would he do that? And God said, the reason why he changed his name, because if he would have kept Saul's name, he still would have been attached to his past. Saul still would have been, everybody would have still known him as, you are the murderer. You are the one that has done all this bad. You are the one who has done all these bad deeds. And so God said, I can no longer allow you to be attached to your past. So now you are a new creation. You're a new person. And so I'm here to tell you today, I don't care, you know, what you've gone or done in your past. I don't care, you know, if you used to be a drunk, if you used to not be that good of a father or a mother, or if you used to cheat and lie. I don't care what you have done. Once you finally receive the grace, God comes to you and says, okay, now you are a new person. You're a new person in me. Your name is now changing. And the story of Zacchaeus, I love this story, found in Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Let's jump into it. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. Why did he become very rich? Because the king allowed him to take as much as he wanted. As long as he gave the king his cut, he could keep whatever he wanted. So really bad, really wrong deed. He became very rich. Watch this. Verse 3 says he tried to get a look at Jesus. This part is so important because this was his willingness. Now, this is not in the Bible by any stretch of the imagination, but when the Bible doesn't tell you everything, what do? You just make it up. So that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to give you a story of how I think this may have happened. I think that Zacchaeus was, you know, walking around, hanging with his boys, hanging out with his posse, and they come and say, hey, man, you know, that Jesus guy who's been healing people and setting people free and delivering them and calling them to be a new person. Do you know that he's coming to our town today? He's coming to do these great things here today. And Zacchaeus is like, What? Yeah, he's coming. We're going to go see him. You want to come? And I can see Zacchaeus be like, nah, I'm good. And they're like, sure. No, seriously. Come hear about this Jesus. Come hear about this man. And he's like, no, I'm good. And so what happens is they all leave. They're gone. And then he's walking around. I just see him just twiddling his thumbs like, okay, I really am. I just want to see who this guy is. I want to see who this guy is that they're talking about that does all these healings. I want to see this guy that makes people who've been lame and paralyzed get up and walk. I just want to see him. I'm not going to get attached to him. I just want to see him. And I'm here to tell you today that that's how some of us are in the church today. We came and we're like, you know, I've heard good things about church, or I've heard good things about this Destiny Church. I've heard good things about the pastor and that the presence of God is there. And that's awesome. And I'm not going to get too involved in it. I just want to go and see. But I'm here to tell you sarcastically, that's the greatest mistake that you could ever make. Cause all you have to do is be willing. So what happened? He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. Hashtag short people problems. I'm just going to say, I mean, if you're not, you know, blessed, you know, like me to be at least 6 foot or above, I mean, we're more blessed and called and highly favored of the Lord. I'm joking. I'm kidding. But he was too short to see over the crowd. So, but watch this. That could have been a real obstacle and a hurdle. He could have easily just said, you know what? Fine. I can't see. I'm done. I'm going home. But it didn't stop him. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. Verse 5 says, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Why is that so important? Because remember, Zacchaeus was a horrible person. He did all wrong, all bad. He cheated people. He lied to them. He deceived them. One of the worst people in the region. And Jesus still knew his name. I'm here to tell you today, I don't care what you have done 2 weeks ago. I don't care what you've done 2 days ago. I don't care what you've done 2 hours ago. I don't care how bad that you think you are. Jesus Christ still knows your name. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm so thankful that he knows our name. And so he said, quick, come down here, Zacchaeus. I must be a guest in your home today. And so the Bible doesn't tell us what exactly happened in that house. And again, you know, my imagination, my creation. I steal this from my sister, Nicole Green. I believe he was Jesus slapped. I believe he was slapped all over that place. And now, I know that's funny and y'all think I'm talking about physically. I'm not talking about physically at all. I believe that Jesus sat down with him and began to speak a word that was so near and dear to his heart. Spoke things that only Jesus Christ could know. Spoke things that only that would change him, and the only one that could be the Lord to hear that. And Zacchaeus began to receive and know that this man that knows all these things about me, since he has all this power, surely he could have just killed me. He could have just taken me out and said, I don't want you anymore. But he gave me grace. And so he received that grace in that moment, and instantly he was changed. Let me show you what happened. Verse 8 says like this. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. Let me stop you there real quick. Why is that important? Because let me show you what happened. Zacchaeus went from being a person that did not know anything about Jesus Christ at all to hours later giving his life to this man, giving his life to Christ. Then right after that, calling him Lord. Why is that important? Because some of us are here in church today and we didn't know anything about Jesus. Then we gave our life to him and he became our Savior, but we still haven't made him our Lord. Lord and Savior are two totally different things. Savior is over here saying he saved me from something. Lordship means you rule my entire life, but we ain't willing to get up any control. We want to control everything that is going on in life. So we say, yes, God, I give you my life. I give you my all. He goes, okay, give me the control. Whoa. I don't know about that. And so we have got to not just call. We cannot have it either way. We can't have Jesus being just our Savior or just our Lord. Jesus Christ has to be our Savior and our Lord. He's got to rule our entire life. And so then he goes on to say, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Talk about a transformation. Talk about changing and being completely different. He didn't say, God, I'm just going to give you a little bit of this area and turn only 50 degrees. He did a complete 180. Both of those men did. The best part about their stories is after their transformations, they became consistent with God. I save this point to the end for a reason, because I believe this is something as a body of Christ throughout all the world that we need to get and understand. We have got to be consistent with God. Why? Because we don't serve a wishy-washy God. We don't. We don't serve a God that allows you to be in one day and then out the next. We don't serve a God that resides anywhere in the gray area. He's not there at all. He's either in the white or the black. Why? Because God is a God of order and of reconciliation. He wants everything to be right. Being inconsistent with God does not work at all. At all. Let me show you. Revelations 3, 15 through 16 says, I would rather you be hot or cold. So what is he saying? I'd rather you be passionate on fire for me and knowing me or not knowing anything at all. So because you are lukewarm, because you're in the middle and going back and forth, whether you want to really receive the grace of God or not, I will spit you out of my mouth. Another version says, I will separate you from me. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be separated from God. I don't want to be separated from the love of Jesus Christ. I need it for my life. I need it for my health. I need it for my everyday life. I don't want to be separated. But when we're inconsistent, that's what happens. And so some of us have not fully transformed because we are inconsistent and spend no time with God. It's already quiet in here, so I don't know how much more quiet it's going to get. Y'all probably going about to just get up and leave after I say this one. But I just want to let you know that the message comes to the messenger first. So my toes have been stepped. If you can see my feet under these shoes, I got Band-Aids all on them. Because all week, God was like, just stepping on them. I was like, ouch. And so now I got to give that word to you. But I just want to let you know today, out of love, Sundays, just spending time with God on Sundays is not enough. I'm going to let that sink in for 1 minute. Just spending time with God on Sundays does not work. We have got to spend time with God. Why would we ever only want to give a God that created us, that gave us our life, only one day? No, I don't know about you, but I need my God on Monday. I need him on Tuesday, and halfway through the week when the week's got crazy, I definitely need him on Wednesday. Then I need him on Thursday, and then Friday when the week's finally over, I need him some more. And then Saturday, I need him again. And then on Sunday, I get a double portion of him. a double. Sunday is not supposed to be just a little portion. We're supposed to get double on Sundays, but some of us are walking around weary and broken because we're depending on Sundays to get us through the week. So let me tell you, some of y'all are gonna, you know, hear this and be like, oh, okay, I get it. I get it, Pastor TJ. You're gonna be getting convicted by the Holy Spirit. Okay, oh my gosh, be quiet. I got it. And then you're gonna say, okay, God, I heard what he said today. So, hallelujah. This is gonna be something deep. So this next week, God, I'm going to give you 5 minutes every day. Woo! 5 minutes. Hallelujah. Thank you. 5 minutes to God. Let me explain why. Y'all probably like, what is he talking? What's wrong with that? Let me show you an example here. And this is probably going to make some of y'all mad, but, it's okay. We've all had relationships and been in relationships, and we all are so lovey-dovey. And all we can do is think about that person. And all we can do is when we're texting somebody, we're texting them. And when we're calling somebody, we're calling them. Every waking moment we're spending with them, we're talking about, I love you, you love me, and all this good stuff. And this person is probably not even the one. This person is not contributing anything to you spiritually, probably just physically, but that's a whole nother thing. This person is not giving you anything. And then you got a God over here who sent his only son down to die and take the worst death that's ever happened, and all we can do is give him 5 minutes? That's wrong. I'm sorry. That's wrong. We have got to learn to give our God and our Savior much more than that. Listen, I know that we are busy. I understand that I'm one of those. I know that we've got a lot of things going on in our life. We do. Yes, we are busy creatures, but if we can't make time for our Creator, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. Some of y'all wondering why your life after Sunday goes awry. You ain't spending no time with Him. How in the world? You know, see, and then, thank you, God. And then 5 minutes, you know, when you meet somebody for the first time for 5 minutes, after that 5 minutes is over, they've forgotten your name. So that's what's happening. We're coming into God's presence. Hey, God, hey, this is me and blah, blah. Okay, I got to go. And then you come back. Hey, God, remember me? Nope, I sure don't, because the last time I heard from you was 2 months ago. It was 2 months ago. We've got to spend time with God. We cannot be inconsistent. The last couple of things here. We ought to always be seeking after God. Always. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says it like this. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Another version says seek his face always. Everybody say always. We've got to learn to give God everything that we are. And the final thing that I want to say today is once you receive that grace, once you receive the grace of God fully in your life, then you receive the glory of God. And I'm going to explain to you my personal story and tell you how important the glory of God is. I'll never forget the day that I received this grace, the day that I finally said, you know what, God? I've had people my whole life telling me, you know, that there's something in me, that there's something greater, that you're going to use me for a different cause, that you're going to do this and do that. So if you are real, if you're the as real as the songs that we sing, if you are real about all the messages and teachings that I've ever heard, show me yourself. Show me your glory. Just like Moses said, he said, God, show me your glory. And why is glory important? Because once you get in the glory of God, you have no choice but to change. And so I'll never forget the woman of God who was speaking that night. I was at my old church's conference, big conference, over 10,000 people there, and prophetess Juanita Bynum began to say, she said, listen, she got away from her notes, she stopped preaching, and she said, listen, y'all, the glory of God is in this place, and if you want it, if you really want it, the glory and the grace of God, all you have to do is receive it. And so I remember I lifted up my hands, and as soon as I did that, and all those 10,000 people went away, disappeared, and it was just as it was me and God only in that arena. And I said, God, I want to feel your glory. I want to feel the realness, the tangibleness of who you are. And I'll never forget that soon as I said that, I literally felt the presence of God wrap his arms around me. And he said, son, you asked for it. You've asked for it. Now receive it. Receive my love. Receive my joy. Don't worry about the mistakes that you've made. Don't worry about the mistakes that you're going to make, because I've already thrown it in the sea of forgetfulness. And so I just want you in this moment to receive my love, my joy, my faithfulness. And I want you to feel the very presence of who I am. And as I begin to receive it, I'll never forget, I felt arms come around me so tight that all I began to do was just say, God, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your joy. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for hearing me, God. And as I kept saying that, as I kept praising him, the squeeze kept getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and to the point where I had no words left. I just begin to cry. I just begin to weep and say, God, thank you. I can feel you changing me. I can feel you transforming me. I can feel you changing me to be a better person. And then I just begin, I remember I begin to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and just begin to speak in other languages and tongues and of the other fruits of the Holy Spirit. And I just cried and cried and cried, because I felt the glory of God, and I felt my very life change right there in that moment. And it's here for you today. I want everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes. And before we move on, if there's anybody here that has wants to receive this grace, wants to know more about this Jesus, but the first step is to making him Lord of your life. You made him your Savior. You made him your Lord. And some of you may not even made him your Savior yet. Maybe that's the first step that you need to take. And if that's you, and you feel like, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to raise my hand. I'm not good enough to do any of these things that he's talking about, I just say, welcome to the crowd. Because none of us are good enough, and we're never going to be good enough. The grace of God is free. And so if you want to accept Jesus Christ without anybody else looking around in this place, if you want to accept that fullness and make Jesus Christ your Savior and Lord, I want you to just lift up your hands in this place real quick. Nobody looking around but me. I see those hands. I see those hands. Come on, if anybody else, give you just a couple more seconds. Come on, don't miss out on this moment. This is what church is all about. It's not about worship. It's not about the word. It is about people coming to Christ. I see those hands. I see those hands. So I want everybody to say this prayer with me this morning. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love. And I thank you that you are changing me right now. Jesus, I believe that you lived and I believe that you died. And I believe that you rose again and that you are now seated at the right hand of the throne. You are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I shall live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, we had several hands go up today. Can we give God a come on, the angels are rejoicing. They're praising God. They're saying, thank you, Jesus. We've called more people home. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. And the very last thing that I want to offer you today, that story that I told you, y'all, I promise it wasn't made up. Just as I am real standing here before you today, that's how I felt that glory of God. And God said, today, son, when you give that word, I am going to offer that same glory to these people that you are going to speak to today. And so the most important part about that, about receiving that grace, about receiving that glory, is that you've got to put yourself in a place before God. And we have no better place in this church to put ourselves before God than right here at the altar. So if you want that glory, if you want that grace of God to come into your life and transform you, I just invite you to come down here to this altar with me, because this prayer is just as much for me as it is for anybody else. If you want to kneel, if you want to lay down, if you want to stand, if you want to lift your hands, do whatever you need to do to grasp this glory of God that's in this place that will forever change your life. And as we sing this song, just allow the glory of God to fill your life, to fill your heart, and to fill your mind. As we invite the glory of God to come into this place, God, change us. Make us new. We invite your glory. Come on, Justin.
So we want to see show us your glory. We want to know you. Oh, we want to see you. Show us your glory. We want to know you. Oh,
oh, we want to see you. Show us the glory. We want to know you.
Y'all, the glory of God is in this place this morning. And if you want to receive it, if you feel you haven't received it yet, come on, everybody lift up your hands real quick. We're going to go home in just 2 minutes. 2 minutes. I know we're running a little bit longer, but God is changing some people. God is transforming some people from the inside out. Now, God, I declare in the name of Jesus that every heart that is in this place, God, every mind that is in this place, God, that has been struggling with negative thoughts, God, and self-defeat, God, and self-worry, God, and self-pity, God, be replaced, God, by your glory and by your love, God, and by who you have called them to be. Lord, they will begin to look in the mirror and say, I am different, and that we will have the tools and the capabilities, Lord, to stand out from the crowd and be different, God, and be changed by you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I declare, God, that your glory that is in this place, God, will not just be a one-time thing, will not just be a thing that we receive today and lose tomorrow. God, we take this glory home with us today. We take it tomorrow. We take it on Tuesday. We take it on Wednesday. And we're going to run and run and run and run and run to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give your name praise. We give your name glory. And we give your name honor. In Jesus' name. If you are thankful for the word of God and for the glory, come on and let's give God a shout of praise in this place this morning. Come on, I think we do better than that. Let's give him a shout for his glory. Let's be in this place this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready to take on this week. I'm ready to move forward and move on and know that, you know what? I can't do it. I'm not good enough. And that I'm not called to be just like everybody else. I'm called to stand out. Give somebody a high five, a hug, and say, hey, you're going to stand out this week. You're going to be changed. You're going to be different. Remember life groups tonight. We've got Gap 412 going on tonight in the back. Come worship with us. Y'all have a great week. Thank you. God bless you.